All right. 9 minutes ago, Diana Russini tweeted this out. George Pickens' name was tossed around in trade discussions this past week. The Cowboys were one of the teams that discussed bringing in Steelers wide receiver, sources tell me. But with the draft in the rear view, expect the trade buzz to cool surrounding George Pickens. So throw that in the Doran Dickerson dub column.
Yep.
We'll get into that a little bit after our conversation with Neil Walker. At last we spoke, I said, "Oh, Neil, if the Pirates go 0-6 or 1-5 on this trip, could Derek Shelton be gone?" And Neil said, "Who's to say they're going to have a bad road trip?" And I do think they played their best baseball of the season. They went 3-3, and Neil Walker, he was right. We'll put one in the dub column for him. He joins us right now. He's brought to you by Mike Camlin Hyundai, home of the Mike Camlin Advantage, oil changes for life. And Neil also brought to us by Goodrich and Geist. Get the good guys, Goodrich and Geist. Good morning to you, Neil. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning, guys. How we doing?
Good, man. Good. This was a survival road trip, really, for those Buccos. They had a chance to win the middle game of that three-game set against the Dodgers, which we'll get into in the Colin Holderman decision. But I wanted to ask you first about Andrew Heaney, who's on the mound tonight. I mean, this guy's got better numbers than Paul Skeens. What's the secret with this dude, Neil?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, you look at the profile of Andrew Heaney and how he pitches and the velocities he throws at and the amount of time that he's pitched in the big leagues. When you dig through his numbers and you look, it's pretty impressive because he's had some years where he struck out more than a guy an inning, and he doesn't throw harder than 92, 93 miles an hour tops, which is, in today's day and age, not very hard. I think his biggest weapon is his deception. He is very good at moving the ball around the strike zone. His fastball has a lot of ride to it up in the zone and into right-handed hitters. And he knows how to use his off-speed weapons as well. So it's been really fun to watch him pitch. We've seen so many left-handed pitchers over the years, you know, Martin Perez and some of these guys come in and do very similar things to Heaney, but he has probably at the head of the class as far as, you know, some of these guys that we thought were going to be four or five starters that they bring in that are left-handed guys, journeyman type that have bounced around the league. So you hope it continues. Like you said, they had a good road trip. They were in pretty much every single game minus one in L.A. And, you know, they had a chance to sweep the Angels. And they had a chance to – they legitimately had a chance to come home potentially 5-1 on a West Coast swing, which is impressive. And I think we talked about it last week, that 3-3 when you're going into a place like Dodger Stadium on a weekend is never easy. And to get out of there with one, even though it sounds kind of crappy to say, get out of there with one win, but to have won two or three in a previous series or a series after a Dodger series is always kind of a victory in itself.
Neil, second game of the Dodgers series, eighth inning, game is tied 3-3. Derek Shelton elects to put in Colin Holderman in his first outing back from injury. Can you tell us what the thought process was maybe around that? Was the thought process maybe to grab some early confidence for Colin Holderman to go in there against the Dodgers and pitch a good inning? Because clearly it didn't work out the way that I think Derek Shelton planned.
Yeah, and you know, only Shelty be able to kind of answer exactly what he was thinking. I can't remember, you know, the post game what exactly he said, but I think they understand the value, the extreme value, I should say, on a healthy and confident Colin Holderman and David Bednar. We saw Bednar come in a big spot in that Dodgers series and get it done on the first night, and then of course that second night, you know, Holderman, whether there was a little bit of rust or whatnot. He just didn't get it done. But I do think, and obviously Santana has been probably our most consistent guy over the course of the last, you know, whatever it's been, 10 months since we acquired him last year. So it's interesting. I think over the course of the next 10 games to 14 games, you're hopefully going to see this bullpen, if they're able to stay healthy, kind of go back to what their, you know, roles are. And that's always nice for bullpen guys. Obviously, I never was one, but when you talk to them, they always are appreciative when they know if they're up on a certain day, whether it's going to be the seventh, eighth, or ninth. And we have three good guys down there when confident and convicted and healthy. And I think that they really are are hoping that we can get Colin Holderman back into the saddle, per se, because he's going to be really important for the Pirates to close out games as this season goes along if they're going to climb back in this thing.
Neil Walker with us here on the Fan Morning Show. Neil, Paul Skenes went out there against the Dodgers. 6 1/3 innings, no runs, 9 strikeouts. I'll say it again for effect, against the Dodgers in that lineup. Was that the finest outing of his brief so far major league career?
I think it's right up there with his, I think it was his second start of his career at Chicago. I think he mowed down about 10 and 7 innings and gave up no hits or one hit or something along those lines. But to do it against the Dodgers, like you said, that offense is just a juggernaut, and to navigate it 2+ times, 3+ times is difficult for any starting pitcher to do. But not only did he shove, Mitch Keller shoved as well, and so, you know, this is these two guys that was a big swing for them out there at Dodger Stadium, one of the toughest places to play, particularly on a weekend. So. That was fun to watch. I mean, to watch him go blow for blow. We saw him pitch against the Dodgers last year, but to watch him navigate that lineup a couple times was really something special. And you're just continuing to see him evolve. We saw him, you know, this year kind of drop his arm slot a little bit. And not necessarily his pitches aren't moving much different. He is the velocity on his fastball has ticked down just a tiny bit. But this guy knows how to pitch. He knows how to get outs on top of having, upper-tier velocities mixed with wipeout stuff. So every time his spot comes up, I mean, it's must-watch TV for everybody that's interested in Pirates baseball.
Neil, do you think that Gonzalez is truly missed in this lineup right now? Do you think that whenever he does come back and he is full healthy that they can get that spark from him?
I do. I mean, I think that it was so disappointed to see him get hurt on the third at bat of the year, because I felt like this was an opportunity for him to really solidify himself as an everyday major league second baseman. I like the things that I saw the second half of the year last year as far as the bat to ball skills. I thought he plays good enough defense. Where he fits in the lineup on a daily basis is kind of interesting, because, you know, I see him more as a 2-7 hole guy that with a lot of upside. And, I thought that he was going to be a guy that was kind of a dark horse to be a real guy that could take this offense to the next level. So for him to lose this bit of development is disappointing. But I do think he can bounce back once he comes back and gets healthy. And we saw Spencer Horowitz get on a rehab assignment, so it'll be really fun to watch him, because his skill set is pretty unique as well. Not a big amount of power, but on base skills and bat to ball skills are really, really good. So, you know, the Pirates have some things moving. You know, I heard you guys talking about things haven't been so rosy over the course of the last 8 to 10 years with Pittsburgh sports, but I do see a lot of good things with this Pirates team, and I'm really looking forward to, number one, a healthy group of guys that you thought were going to be your regulars, and of course that bullpen that we thought was going to be, you know, a pretty good strength for the team, being pitching the way that we know they're capable of pitching.
And that's why going 3-3 on that road trip was such a big deal. You couldn't fall to 9-21 or something like that, because then you're just fighting to get back above that 500 mark all year long, and you might have dug too big of a hole. But going out there, getting 3-3, you come back home, try to win a couple of series so that you can be in a position to be in position when you get healthy. Neil, appreciate the time. As always, man, thank you so much, and we'll talk again next week.
Okay, guys, have a great week.
You the man.
Thanks, Neil.
Neil Walker. O'Neill Cruz, too, man. He's hitting like an absolute superstar.
Yes, he is.
He's 2 home runs off the major league lead. The center field defense will leave a lot to be desired, but we've always said, like, you got to give him time. He's got the athletic profile to figure that out. At the dish right now, he is hitting as well as he's ever hit, and he leads the league in stolen bases. If he stays healthy, he should be a shoo-in for that 30-30 club. I mean, the power is prodigious right now, and he's taking a lot of walks, and he's stealing bases. He's coming around as a all-around player apart from that defensive side. And if you hit well enough,
yeah.
I don't so much care about the defense.
I wonder what the record is with first at-bat home runs. I mean, he's getting close, right? I mean, what is he at, 4 or 5?
He's like got
first time up in home run.
Yeah, leadoff home run.
Leadoff, yeah.
He's the first player to do it by this point in April for the Pirates.
Yeah.
If he stays in the leadoff hole, and he absolutely should now.
I mean, I would hope so.
You would hope. He's gonna hit 10 this year. It's awesome. Get out to that 1-0 lead. I think they're 2-2 in those games too.
Mm-hmm.
They lost the one Cleveland game whenever a superstar threw out the first pitch. And then
who? The
Dodgers game. Just some superstar, some local radio celebrity throughout the first pitch of that game, yeah. Mm. All right, we've got breaking Steelers news from Diana Russini, and we've got Mark Caboli yeeting again. And there's no wrestling event going on right now, is there?
No, but he replied to us.
Might this be the final yeet? We'll tell you what he says coming up next. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Bunch of people texting in that Ricky Henderson has the record for leadoff home runs over the course of a career. Yeah, I thought we were talking about Pirates, though.
I was saying all time.
All time. Oh, yeah, Ricky Henderson, he laps the field. He's got 81.
81, okay. I was looking for the number.
You meant all time.
Yeah.
Oh, I miskin.
That's all right. Yeah. We could do both.
McCutcheon has 25 leadoff homers in his career. I still, and ChatGPT couldn't help me with this, I still couldn't find the most leadoff home runs in a single season by a Pirate. Perhaps they'll talk about it on the broadcast tonight. Because all you'll get for Cruz is he hit 4 in a calendar month, which no Pirate has ever done.
Mm.
Barry Bonds, the all-time leader in leadoff homers for the Pirates, however. McCutcheon has 25 active player with the most. Tommy Pham, by in his career, has hit 7 leadoff homers. Adam Frazier, 12. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa with 1. Key Brian Hayes with 2. And that is the list. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. That's such a badass thing. First at-bat, crank, see ya, 1-0, just like that. You got to love it if you're the starting pitcher that day. But let's talk football. Diana Russini of The Athletic, she tweeted out about a half hour ago, George Pickens' name was tossed around in trade discussions this past week. The Cowboys were one of the teams that discussed bringing in the Steelers' wide receiver, sources tell me. But with the draft in the rear view, expect the trade buzz to cool surrounding Pickens. I mean, you've argued the whole time for you it hasn't made sense. It makes zero sense now.
Oh, yeah, no.
I mean,
it's over with,
like,
no.
Zero sense now. Like, you might even be one of these people who doesn't think that George Pickens is going to walk the straight and narrow and get his head out of his arse. You're not going to be able to get what you need to get for him now. If you traded him, you'd get a draft pick for next year.
Mm-hmm.
And that just ain't worth it for
no,
me.
No.
Especially, right, you got 11. Not all these guys can make your roster. And worst case scenario, I keep saying this, is he goes sign someplace else and you get a third round comp pick for him. It's not a guarantee. But the way that Omar Khan has manipulated that this year, the way the Ravens have done it, the way the 49ers have done it, they'll make sure they're getting a comp pick.
Mm-hmm.
It's additions, subtractions. There's a reason why they went after Aaron Rodgers, too, because he does not factor into any of this. He was a cut. Darius Slay, there's a reason why he was the guy that they earmarked as the corner opposite of Joey Porter Jr. He was a roster cut by the Eagles. If you sign a traditional free agent, he's going to factor into the math. If you go out and you get a guy that gets cut at the beginning of the new league year, he doesn't factor into the math. That's chestnut checkers, baby. So they'll get a third-round comp pick, I'm confident in, for George Pickens, should he walk at the end of the season. So now you just get to watch him.
Right.
And to me, football's entertainment first and foremost. And on the field, Pickens, Metcalf, and potentially, probably Rodgers is super entertaining, but isn't it also fascinating to see how all those personalities are going to figure it out, Doran? Like, to me, I think that's as much a part of the fun this season as anything. Like, can Pickens coexist with Metcalf? Can the three of them coexist in the third being Rodgers? Is Rodgers going to get along with Arthur Smith? Like, I want to see,
it's like a real world.
Yes. Yes. You ever watch like Bachelor in Paradise?
Yeah.
It's like that with none of the sex.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's going to be drama. If they win, we're not going to hear about it. If they're losing games or if there's a game or two that they don't score enough points, we're going to hear about it. And then they're going to forget about it. They're going to go play football. I can't wait, man. All the while, we knew they weren't going to win a Super Bowl this year. So let's go and see what it looks like. Maybe you win a playoff game. Maybe Rodgers finds lightning in a bottle, throwing to these guys and handing it off to Caleb Johnson. Like, I don't know. But I'm itching to find out. And then next year, you get your quarterback.
Yeah.
It's just a bridge. And it's a fascinating bridge at that. You know what's not? Mason Rudolph.
Yes.
Like, Will Howard start at quarterback for me if it ain't going to be Aaron Rodgers. But I think we are entering a two-year stretch of Steelers football that could be as interesting as any we've seen in recent memory. It is transformative.
Yep.
I went for it a second time. Transformative. You didn't even go to broadcast school, and you can say transformative.
I went to Pitt.
You know what my dad can't say? Massachusetts. We all have that word.
Yes.
For my dad, it's Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And that was even before the Bell's palsy. You know what the Bell's palsy is? Makes your face droop.
Yes.
Kind of looks like you're having a stroke, but you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Still not fun.
Mm-mm.
Couldn't say Massachusetts before that.
Mm. It's a tough word.
Massachusetts.
Can you spell it?
No. I could if I wrote it down. M-A-S-S-A-S-S-I-P-P-I. Oh. I made
That's
it
Mississippi.
I made it Mississippi is
oh,
what I
man.
Did.
Des Bryant.
West Virginia not having a good segment here, Dorian.
No, it's not. It's not.
I promise you, parents out there, if you send your children to West Virginia, they will retain a lot more of their education than I have. I promise you. It's still a great place to send your kids.
Is it?
Look at what a great job it has provided me.
Look at what a great job you're doing.
Oh, it's brutal right now. Harry liked that one behind the
West
glass.
West Virginia, you go to West Virginia, you can get your foot in the door.
That's right. And you might close your foot in the door, too.
You might stub your toe.
Such a freaking idiot. Tweet us brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township at southhillskia.net. Don't you agree with that, though? Like, these next 2 years, if you allow yourself to be open to the process... And we don't do that enough anymore. It's all rings culture. And I understand. I'm as disappointed as anybody but by the last 8 years of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But if you allow yourself to enjoy the process, these 2 years could be a blast. This year it's Aaron Rodgers, we think, and the best cast of characters that they've had offensively in years. And then next year you're going to have your guy in every game is a referendum on whether or not that guy could be the future of your team. It's fabulous. We're looking at 34 games, man, that are going to transform the history of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And I think they're going to be good this year. That's what I think. I think not only will you be entertained, I think that it'll be good.
They should be better this year for all the reasons we talked about earlier on in the show.
I think that they're going to be pretty decent if Aaron Rodgers is here. I really do. I think not only you're going to get entertained, I think it'll look fun. It'll be fun, and they'll win some games.
My prediction is going to hinge upon, if Rodgers is here,
yep,
what he looks like in training camp.
You're not going to see much of him, but okay.
When we do, is he moving around okay? He's not getting hit, I understand all that. And my God, they shouldn't play him in a preseason.
He's not going to play, yeah.
For so many reasons.
Right.
Like, they should let Will Howard play more than Mason Rudolph.
Yeah.
Like, let Will Howard get those developmental reps, but also protect Aaron Rodgers. If he's got the zip on the ball, if he's moving around okay, I don't need to see much for the sugar plums in my head to start dancing.
Yeah, he'll look all right. Not trying to psych anybody up, but I think it's going to look all right.
Someone has uncovered the secret here, Doran.
With what?
Texter, does Crowley get paid for how many times he says Rodgers in a single day? I do. It's $100 a Rodgers. And thank you for texting that in, because now I've got to say it two more times.
Yep.
Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
One more for good measure.
Mr.
Rodgers.
There you go. Another one.
Were you a Mr. Rodgers fan growing up?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
My grandma wouldn't let my mom watch him because she thought he was weird. But I think he's as wholesome a man who has ever walked the earth.
Yes.
You could learn how they made crayons and Turner's iced tea, things like that. We still watch it all the time now.
Mm-hmm.
Better than a lot of the crap out there.
Pringle.
What about a Pringle?
Can.
You learn how to make Pringles?
No. Pringle can.
All right. So there was the breaking news from Diana Russini. and my doe-eyed optimism about how the next 34 games are going to go for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Coming up next, one of the things we didn't dive into in much detail from Kyle Dubas' press conference yesterday is how he reacted when asked about Sidney Crosby. How Sidney Crosby is going to handle the change at head coach. We'll get into that coming up next. All right, Doran just told me during the break that Brandon Bean,
yep,
GM of the Bills, flipped out on radio host at Buffalo when they were asking about wide receivers.
Yeah, just sent it to you.
Oh, you sent it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll play that coming up next.
Yeah.
I love that kind of stuff. It's good for us, too. Like, if Omar Khan ever came on here, mild-mannered Omar Khan, you guys think we don't have a plan? We have a plan, damn it! Andy Weidel from Lebo, big fan of the show, but not because of that.
Right.
Probably because of you. It reminded me of Greg Giannotti last week. We'll play the Kyle Dubas on Sidney Crosby quote and talk about it coming up in a second, but Greg Giannotti, who's a Vikings fan. He's a big Vikings fan. Yeah. He was talking about the Jackson Dart pick and how he didn't like it for the Giants, and they were taking phone calls, and this is too good not to play it.
Okay. How many Ole Miss games have you actually watched all year? Okay,
I sat there and watched. How
no,
many?
No, 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 no. If the Giants like a quarterback, you go out and get him, Gio.
Okay, Mike. Okay? Hey, listen to me. Hold on for a second.
Hold on a second.
New York. For God's sakes, I'll talk to you. And by the way, I said this for dummies like you earlier that I hated the Vikings pick of J.J. McCarthy. I said he stinks and I hated it. So that has nothing to do with it being a Vikings fan or not. And how many Ole Miss games did John Gruden watch of Jackson Dart? And I'll tell you right now, he thinks he stinks.
How many times have you watched him play?
How many times have you watched him play?
More than you.
How many times have you watched him play? How many times? Seriously. He's a system quarterback in Lane Kiffin's offense. Go look up Matt Corral. How'd that work out?
I just crumpled up a read. I'm so sorry.
Matt Corral's in the UFL, but
he does.
That was great.
He does that like once a year. He'll just lose it. I love that. Kallus, I just sent you the Bean clip, if you don't mind flicking that into the audio there, please. All right, back to the Penguins talk at hand, where Kyle Dubas was asked yesterday about Sidney Crosby's reaction to the Mike Sullivan parting of the ways.
I'm not going to speak for Sid. When we go through and make coaching changes or any changes in the organization, I have to do what I think is best for the organization. I called Sid yesterday morning before I met with Sully to give him the heads up. He's been through it before, but in terms of how he feels about it, I had a 5-minute conversation with him before about the fact that we were going through this to make a change, and we didn't get into the ins and outs of it. I have to do what I think is best for the organization. Every single player, if you pull that room of players, you're going to largely have probably 7 of them that love the coach, 7 of them that hate the coach, and 7 that are indifferent. And the same applies to management. Pulling players on their feeling of the coaches is not always the greatest thing to do when you're trying to make that change. And I had to take all the information from the last 2 years and do what I think is best.
I have not been a Kyle Dubas defender. I'm open-minded to see where he's going to take the franchise. That, however, is the right outlook. And I said it yesterday. I have 2 goals if I'm the Penguins general manager. Number 1, get the team back to championship caliber. Number 2, keep Sidney Crosby in a Penguin sweater for the entirety of his career. But make no mistake about it. Number 1 has to significantly outweigh number 2.
Yep.
And I think his reasoning was actually sound there. Like, if Sid said vehemently, I am against this, I think that you still pull the trigger on firing him. Not that I believe he was fired, but you get what I'm saying here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he calls Sid and he goes, hey, Sid, what do you think about Mike Sullivan? He says, man, I think I would prefer to be a Montreal Canadian if you got rid of Mike Sullivan. And you think it's the best thing for the franchise to move on? I think you do it.
Yeah.
I do.
I think you say this is what we're doing, and I want to make you aware so you're not blindsided, because we have respect for you, clearly. But this is the direction we're going in, Sid. We're going to part ways with Mike Sullivan, and we're going to find a new head coach, and just let him know.
Ruminate on it.
You don't kind of even give him really a chance to kind of negotiate another side of it, really. You just tell him, this is what we're doing. We wanted to make you aware.
Yes. And look, I think when you say that, you know, one third of the locker room is going to be in or dressing room in hockey. They get very mad when you say locker room. Oh, yeah.
I know that.
Oh, yeah. You get dressed in there. You don't get locked in there. So, and you can't step on the logo. God forbid they'll punch you right in the face.
I've been on teams where that is the case.
It's the dumbest thing I ever
seen. I love it.
What?
Yeah, it keeps you accountable.
I mean, maybe for that reason, but you step on the logo and it's a disrespect.
Yeah, come on. I get that.
You and your Augusta National, and Harry's shaking his head in the other room. It's a logo. Who cares? Who cares? It's a logo. It's a carpet.
It's respect. It's unity.
Then build a bigger locker room.
No, it's not even about. See, like this is. See,
we're trying to fit 26 guys in here, and the media, and my giant ego-filled gourd. We need more space. Then, if you don't want us to step on the logo, expand the locker room. Bang. You know what that's called? Dressing room. You know what that's called? A compromise, Doran.
Compromise for what?
We're not going to step on it.
Just compromise for who?
Just make it bigger
the media.
For everybody. Yeah.
Who cares about the media?
Value
you think
us.
They really care about the media?
Clearly they do, because they did everything they could to lash out at you and me yesterday. Calling people. That's totally false!
Yeah, right.
Dubas coming out behind a podium.
I was prepped for this.
We fired him. We fired that, Mike. Let me make sure you all understand this was my decision. Mm-hmm. Sure, I'm sure that's exactly how it went. But if it was in his reasoning there, I do think was sound. Like, you're going to have a third of the dressing room that doesn't like the coach. You're going to have a third that doesn't care who coaches. They just want to play their asses off and win. And you'll have a third that really likes it. Now, Crosby, obviously, his opinion means more than any number of those other guys. All those other guys. But you have to get the Penguins back to championship caliber. And you are hired to do a job. You got to do the job. And if the captain doesn't like it, that sucks, frankly. But so be it.
Mm-hmm.
Go do the job the way that you think you need to do the job.
Now, on the flip side of that, I would get his thoughts on who the next coach would be and the style of the next coach. I don't know if I'd take it in full effect of how I would hire, but my conversation would be 10 minutes, not 5, about the new coach.
What about 8?
8 minutes, yes.
But more than 5?
More than 5.
You'd like a brisk phone call. I hate a long, lingering phone call.
I hate talking on the phone. I have a new role that I've adopted at 37 years old. Listen, don't call me. I'm not going to pick up the phone. I do not talk on the phone. That's what I tell people now. I do not talk on the phone. You could text me or you can email me.
I love that.
For everybody.
I have a friend going through a breakup right now. If he calls me, I can't answer. I got kids. I'm running around. I'm making dinner. I'm taking the trash out. I'm doing the lawn. It's all miserable. I mean, growing up is miserable. You have all these responsibilities. I'm paying bills. Hey, where's the tax return? This and that. Oh, my God. I'll sit there. I'll have a 4.5-hour text conversation, though, intermittently.
Yep.
I'll give you all you need.
Yes.
But I'm terrible at talking on the phone. I can't make time for it.
I will not pick up the phone if you call me.
You will for me.
Well, I know that it's an emergency if you call me, because I know that you know that I don't like to talk on the phone and you don't like to talk on the phone. So if you're calling me, it's an emergency.
It's bad. It's yes, that killer is on the loose from Philadelphia trying to put us in the ground.
Right.
Texter, Crowley, what the heck, man? This is the same principle as if I urinated on your kitchen table. No, it's not. I'm not peeing on the logo.
It's disrespect.
If I walked
It's a rule. It's a rule. If you can't follow the rule, then you don't need to be there. It's structured rule.
You know what? Totally agree with that. If I walk into somebody's house and they say, take your shoes off,
right.
I'm taking the shoes
Same
off.
Same thing.
I will respect the rule for as long as I'm there. Stupid rule, in my opinion. Counts gets in my ear and he says, would you let someone step on your daughter? Yeah, that's the same thing. Mario Lemieux birthed the Penguins logo onto the dressing room floor. Social media's biggest loser, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at Awaken180weightloss.com. People love it when general managers, when people in power within organizations flip out on radio hosts. We've got some audio that you'll enjoy coming up next. But 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Brandon Bean, general manager of the Bills, went on a local morning show, and this happened.
No, it was. It was. I was just listening the last few minutes of your show before I came on, waiting on here.
All right.
Sounds like 2018 all over with you guys.
Well, we're very... How so?
Well, you guys were bitching in 2018 about Josh Allen. You guys wanted Josh Rosen, and now you guys are bitching that we don't have a receiver. I don't get it.
He would go on, but we've run out of time. Yes!
It was like Jerry Jones. What was that, last year?
Well, Jerry Jones, quick aside on him. I've got two massive trades in the work. All right, where are they? Was one of them Pickens? Didn't happen. Where's the other one? Where's your big trade, Jerry Jones?
No, whenever he called out the radio host.
He went on 105.3 The Game in Dallas, our brother station. And he went like full mafioso.
Yeah, like.
Like, who do you think keeps you employed around here?
I brought you in this world. I'll take you out.
Yeah, that'd be like if we talked to Bob Nutting and he threatened our jobs.
Yep.
Wouldn't happen. Jerry Jones. That actually took a lot of stones for them to go toe-to-toe with Jerry, knowing that he full well could pull the carpet out from under them.
Right.
A carpet that you're not allowed to walk on if it's got the logo on it. All right, tomorrow's show.
I swear to God.
What happened?
I swear to God. You're lucky we have 30 seconds left.
Tomorrow's show going to be a humdinger. We got Doug Whaley coming in from 9 o'clock until 10. Caboli was yeeting earlier. Might there be something new on the Aaron Rodgers front? We'll see. I remind everybody you can join me and True Fan Travel on a once-of-a-lifetime adventure to Ireland when the Black and Gold play across the pond this fall. 5 nights in Dublin. It includes tours of Guinness and Jameson, pregame tailgate party, game tickets, and more. Hotel and air or land-only packages are available. For more information on how you could take over Ireland with me, go to 937thefan.com. The link is right there on the homepage. How happy are you going to be when I'm gone for 5 days?
Very happy.
Right in the middle of ball season.
It's going to be great.
No shortage of things to talk about, and you don't have to look at my stupid gourd.
Bad connections. We have a lot of bad connections.
Oh, sorry, Crowley. Couldn't get in touch with you there. I guess we'll just catch up with you tomorrow.
Yep.
We'll catch up with all of you tomorrow.